You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Jaguars with Philip Prues, and I am T-Wig. Phil, what's going on, baby?
I'm here. I'm ready. I'm about to be in the United States of America. It's exciting.
Good for you. Good for you. Welcome back. And I will not be at the airport waiting with tacos for you, because I know you told me you're tacoed out. I wish I had me some tacos right now, but that's another story. It's probably what my problem is with my belt size and my shirts and all of that stuff. So I'll go ahead and mention that today's show is brought to you by Grip 6, where the goal is to literally make the best belt that's ever been made. Grip 6 is an easy, thoughtful gift idea for dads, brothers, husbands, uncles, grandpas, and even moms and wives. Yes, they have a women's collection. Ultra lightweight with no holes, no flap, and it carries a low profile with the buckle laying flat against the waist, making the belt super comfortable. Grip 6 is the only belt with no holes, no flap, no bulk. Grip 6 has a special offer for you at grip6.com/lock. That's right, lock. But put an E on the end of that lock, and that is your promo code. All right, man. So do the Jaguars actually have a grip on their personnel, and do they have a grip on their roster heading into the season? A lot of fans will first look at, okay, well, we got Nick Foles. We've had Blake Bortles for a long time. Now that we have Nick Foles, all of our problems are solved. We got a healthy Leonard Fournette coming back. You know, we got this great defense with Jalen Ramsey. He's a superstar, along with Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue. We got those other pieces with on the other side of Ramsey. We got A.J. Boye, and that's all well and good. But the bottom line is, usually when you look at whether or not a team has a chance to compete, you look at star players. Whether they will compete on a consistent basis requires you to examine the roster a little bit further, and that's where we get to what I call the others. The others on this football team. In the Jaguars' heyday going back, everyone likes to look at all of the guys that are in the Ring of Honor. They like to look at Tony Boselli, and then they like to look at Jim Smith and say, well, he had a partner in Keenan McCardell, and then they had Mark Brunell, and they had Fred Taylor, and that was all good and all fine. But guess what? They went 14-2, 14-3, actually. They lost three games to the organization that we have affectionately started calling the ingrown toenail of the Jacksonville Jaguars, which is the Titans. Okay, so the thing is what made them good, what made them be competitive was those star players. But what actually will make any team good is the infrastructure, the guys that we call the others. Phil, I want to know, do we have enough others on this team? And if we don't, what's the problem? And if we do, who has to play well?
I sure hope so. I think it all starts at the offensive line. And I know I teased it a little bit the last episode towards the very end, but these guys have to play up to their potential. I mean, they made Brandon Leonard the highest paid center. They made Andrew Norwell the highest paid guard when they paid him. So it's not exactly like they're bereft of resources up there. And resources go past just money. Cam Robinson, second-round pick. Juwan Taylor, second-round pick. Well, Richardson was a fourth-round pick. That's not exactly a throwaway draft pick either. A.J. Cann got brought back on a money deal. He's getting paid a little bit now. So these guys need to band together. They need to play really well. They need to form a chemistry. Most importantly, they need to be healthy. And I'm excited to see what George Warhop does, especially with some of the younger guys. I know he was an advocate for bringing back A.J. Cann. If you listen to any of Marone's press conferences, he's a big A.J. Cann guy, and apparently he feels he could take his game to the next level with that relationship. So I'm really looking forward to see, you know, a fresh pair of eyes on this unit, maybe some good stroke of fortune when it comes to health, and see where they could take this offense this year in 2019 with Nick Foles throwing the ball a lot quicker than Blake Bortles.
Let me tell you something about the offensive line, and I'm a little bit in the minority with this, and I don't know enough about scouting or looking at an offensive line and saying whether a guy's good or not. Pretty good, just like everybody else, at looking to see whether a guy's bad or not. Like Luke Joker was like bad. We used to laugh at Luke Joker. I promise you, this is not a joke. just sit next to some people in press box. We would watch Luke Joe. We would just watch him. I'm doing regular, not even preseason games, doing regular season games. We would look right at Luke Joeckel to see if he's going to get knocked on his ass. I'm telling you. And we would sit up there and laugh and cackle like a couple of 12-year-olds because we would literally see him get bullied and pushed around. He'd be fighting for his life on just a regular play. So I look at the offensive line and I say this. Has Brandon Linder lived up to one of the guy who has been one of the top five position paid at a position in the league? No, he probably hasn't, but he hasn't been bad. And what he's done is he solidified that center position, which is sort of like the middle linebacker position is in terms of making the line calls and keeping guys from getting pressure up the middle. So for that, I'll give him a little bit of a break and say, maybe not been worth all that, but I understand that they had the money to spend. Andrew Norwell has nowhere near, in my opinion, even though his season was shortened. When I watched him before he got hurt, I said, you know what? He brings a physical presence to a team that needs a physical presence. And you're going to put him between Linder, who I said isn't awful, and then put him between Linder and Cam Robinson, who was a second. And I understood it. I understood going out and getting a guy who was a first-team All-Pro for a team that ran the football and played a physical brand of football in Carolina and bringing them here when you wanted to be physical and run. I get it. I understand. I know what it – but to me, when you're paid that much money, I always say you pay for a guy for what he's worth, not what he means to you. He meant – the money they gave him, he meant a ton to them. But I don't think he was worth it. And the reason why I don't think he's worth it is because I know who Zach Martin is, man. I know who those guys are. I knew who Steve Hutchinson was, man. What's that kid? What's that rookie? That kid is always screaming and running around with the Colts.
Quentin Nelson.
I couldn't mention his name, but I knew him and I knew his characteristics. See, those guys got paid and those guys are drafted and have that recognition because they didn't just fit in to a mantra of a franchise. They actually made people around them better. I don't think you pay that kind of money. And I don't care what the other team had coming down the pike or who they were going to sign or if they were known as developing a guy. This sort of reminds me a little bit of Kelechi Osemele. And the Ravens drafted him, developed him. He was all probably, all right, bye, see you later. Did he go to Oakland and live up to all of that? No, he didn't. I actually think he's a real good player. But that doesn't erase the fact that Baltimore – and Carolina are both franchises that have done an extremely good job of drafting offensive linemen. Baltimore took a kid named Wagner nobody wanted and turned him into a player. And they've always been able to get these guys. Grubbs was there for a long time. They developed their own dudes. So maybe they're like the way the Broncos back in the 90s and the early 2000s feel. Maybe they're like the Pittsburgh Steelers and the way Green Bay feels about wide receivers. We'll make another one because that's what we do. And they always seem to manage to do that. I think Carolina was sort of the same way with this guy. But to me, you don't go out and pay $60 million and make a guy the highest paid guard in the league when another team's willing to let him go just because he fits the profile. When you're going to make a guy the highest paid player in the league at his position, he can't just be someone who's good for you. He has to be someone that is good for anybody. Because what I think is he doesn't necessarily make guys around him better. He doesn't elevate the unit as much as he solidifies the unit.
Not yet, anyway, and he needs to. Quite frankly, look, he got paid what he got paid because that's what the market dictated he should get paid. He was one of the most sought-after offensive guards in free agency. And I didn't think going into that free agency window or period that the Jaguars would be investing in someone with that kind of money, a top five guy in at the position, in terms of financially speaking. But he got paid like that, and he needs to step it up. He needs to be elite at that left guard spot because that's what they were expecting and that's what they hoped for when they signed him. So he's not going anywhere for the immediate time being, you know, because he's got those guarantees that secure him and protect him. But hopefully Wig, maybe, because I think his ankle issue was something that was lingering from even early in, like in the preseason when it initially started to surface. Hopefully that had a lot to do that impacted his play. We won't know until everything starts moving again this season. And we'll check him out at OTAs. We'll check him out at training camp. We'll see how he's doing, how he's gelling with everybody. Hopefully the product of the entire unit, all five guys working together, being healthy in concert and having that chemistry, hopefully that will be greater than, you know, the individual abilities of any one player on the line, you know, stacked together. Because those guys have to be five links in a chain. They need to be moving together and on the same page. So he needs to step it up, and that's one of the players I think needs to have a huge bounce back season.
Yeah, and when I talk about the others and the success that was in the past, Phil, you ask the average Jaguar fan, besides Buscelli and Searcy, who basically I ran into yesterday, shout out to Big Leon, we had a chance to sit and talk for a little while. Besides those two guys, they'll tell you, Manawai, Tilski, Coleman, Waddell. They'll start running those names off because those others actually made a difference for this football team back in the day. So we'll see. We'll see if we can rest easy with the offensive line being one of those key cogs of the others that we think we need to succeed. We're going to look at the defense on the other side. But first, rest assured, you need to be comfortable with who you are when you travel. And one of those things is you can find out on hotels.com where those hotels are that can give you that break that you need. Today's show obviously is brought to you in part by hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com, be there, do that, and get rewarded. We're going to see on the other side of this break if the Jaguar fans will be rewarded with some of the other players playing on that defensive side of the ball that are the unknowns for the 2019 season. We'll do that on the other side on LockedOnJaguars.com.
Oh, if you want it, you can get it. Let me know.
Make sure you're watching what that guard's doing for you.
Big, deep breaths. Oh, what the guard's doing?
Yeah, just make sure you see what the three technique's getting. You know what I'm saying? Put yourself in there.
I'm just going to go beat the out of him.
Welcome back to LockedOnJaguars.com. Today's show is brought to you by Untuck It. Dads come in all shapes and sizes, and so should their shirts, like tall, short, slim, relaxed. Ever wonder why your father's button-ups look so long and baggy at the end of the day? It can be hard for guys like that to find shirts that allow them to pull off that casual untucked look that isn't sloppy. That's where Untuck It comes in. Untuck It is the solution that fits just right. The shirts are specifically designed to look great untucked and feel comfortable at work or on the weekend. No tucking or tailoring required. Go to untuckit.com, promo code NBA to get 20% off. All right, we need to untuck this real quick and talk about the others on the defensive side of the ball. We all know about the pass rushers. We know about the corners. We've talked before about Miles Jack, I believe, in our last segment, how important he is. Let's talk about who some of the others are for this team to be successful. They're going to have to step up and show up. Marcel Darius isn't another than me. Marcel Darius is a stud, and he played that way last year. He played hard. When you see a 330-pound man making tackles down the field on wide receivers, you know that he's a guy that hasn't taken it for granted. So we won't talk about him, but we will definitely talk about the guy, Phil, that is going to be projected to line up next to him, and that is a kid out of the University of Florida from last year who was a first-round pick named Taven Bryant. Taven Bryant got whooped by a lot of fans and media around here, but he also may have been whooped prematurely because he was playing out of position at what they call the big end spot. Why did they do that, for one, to attempt to play him at the big end position when they had more defensive ends on the team that they needed? Do you think it was just to get him reps last year because there was no room at three technique? I have no idea why they did that to him.
It was so bad. It was so bad. And from the moment I saw him line up there and from the moment that the team said that they're going to put him there, I immediately started shaking my head because he was 6'5", 290 pounds, similar, as I guess as similar as it gets to Calais. Not everybody's a 6'8.5" tower, right? But just body type, big, stout, burly dude who had an incredible athletic score. I think his RAS was like, it was definitely elite. It was close to 10. Like, that's how much of an athlete he was. So basically, they took him with the thought of projection, and initially that they did think that that would be the heir apparent to Calais, and they even said so much. They wanted Calais to spend a lot of time with him and, you know, teach him some of the pass rush moves and all those things, and then it just, he was too far away from the ball, and consistently too far away from the ball, and they basically took away the thing that made him special. Taven Bryan has a long way to go into developing into a complete and well-rounded football player, but the one thing that he does and has, and he had all last year, despite the fact he was developing, is that lightning first step. He is electric out of the snap, and it's good to see. Now he's got to be able to learn how to stack that first step with some moves and be able to use his periphery and be able to work towards the football and make impact plays, especially in the run game. But if you move him away from the ball, if you move him further away from the center off the snap, you're basically neutering him from the thing that he does best.
Yeah. Lots of talk about when he came out about his measurables and his motor being equivalent to or similar to or reminding people of one Mr. J.J. Watt. I even asked Dave Caldwell, did he remind him of a certain player in the league? Caldwell sort of smiled and said, we'll just let Taven be himself. Boy, am I glad, and I'm sure he's glad that we all backed up off of that real quick, because it's a 6'5", 290-pound white kid. Doesn't mean that he's J.J. Watt, and I know we all tend to do that, but he has to definitely step up and make a move forward if he's going to be what everyone thinks. I actually believe the best that they're going to be, especially if they can put people in second and eight. I take Calais and stick him inside at three technique at 31 years old. I pay Josh Allen with his hand on the ground, and I find another linebacker to run with Miles Jack in that nickel situation. Speaking of nickel, DJ Hayden played extremely well last year for the Jacksonville Jaguars, better than many people thought. He was considered a guy. This is where you go with one man's trash is another man's treasure. It seems like there are teams that let guys go that when those guys get asked to do something different that fits their skill set every single year, with the exception of the Jaguars. When the Jaguars lose people, they don't go anywhere and do anything. But it seems like guys like Ebron up with Indy, DJ Hayden, guys that were top 10 picks or top 11, 12 picks, they learned how to play other positions. DJ Hayden was a pleasant surprise for this football team last year. Don't you think he has to continue with that because he plays 60% of the snaps?
Yeah, and before I touch on DJ Hayden, isn't it nice that there really aren't that many quote-unquote others on the defensive side of the ball, Wig? It's like you said, Calais, Darius, Ngakoue, now Josh Allen, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey, it's loaded, A.J. Boye. So it's nice that there aren't too many others. But DJ Hayden is one of those others, and he needs to continue his play because the nickel is becoming so crucial and important, and you're starting to even see those guys get paid in free agency. One of those guys that got paid last free agency window is Aaron Colvin, who left here. So he needs to be able to continue to play at the level that he played last year. I thought he would translate very well to a good nickel cornerback. He had awesome change of direction ability. He was aggressive, breaking towards the ball. He was fearless as a tackler. He wasn't asked to blitz much at Detroit or Oakland, where he was previously, but when he did do those things, he did them effectively and well. His thing now is, just like we talked about the offensive line, he needs to stay healthy. He needs to make sure they don't miss three or four games, you know, with a little hamstring injury here and there, because those things can really kill a team depending on when that three or four game stretch is in the season.
Yep, you're right. I totally agree with that. And last but not least, we'll talk about the elephant in the room, the safety position. Ronnie Harrison, along with Mr. Wilson, who just got a contract extension. What do you think, man? They're not relying on a single hire. They're not looking for the next Earl Thomas anymore. with them playing more split safeties, do those guys have what it takes? They're both long. I know they're measured at 6'1". I've been around them. They're more like 6'2", with very long arms. Do they have enough, you think, to take care of that deep middle? They won't need to cover very long if this pass rush is what we think it is. But still, you do have to diagnose things. What do you look for with those safeties?
And I know we touched on this on the previous show, but I think they'll be fine together as long as they can build a good chemistry and be in sync with one another. It's just the thing that I fear is just the depth at the position, honestly. If either of those guys go down, Ronnie Harrison or Jared Wilson, that cupboard is bare. You're going to have to rely on Cody Davis, who has played safeties. He's played more than just special teams in his career, so he has, you know, some experience in that capacity, but that's just going to be, that's a stretch, you know?
Yeah.
To do that.
You know what? Here's what I think what might happen, though, and I'm going to be honest with you. One of those guys get hurt, I think you move Jalen Ramsey to safety, and then you play DJ Hayden outside and then hope that one of those other kids at nickel corner can get it done. Or if you leave Hayden inside, the worst case scenario is you have a lineup where you stick Jalen Ramsey outside at safety. Inside at safety, and allow him to quarterback the entire defense and force people to not. And I know people are saying, why would you take an all-time great or what guy that has the potential to be an all-time great corner and move him to safety? Well, one of the reasons you can get away with that stuff now is because safeties actually make a lot of money. Landon Collins broke the bank at $85 million over 6 years, so it's no longer a hindrance. And I don't know why people look at the safety position as like a stepbrother. It's not. Safety is a very, very important position. So the worst-case scenario, they did it last year sometimes, Phil, when they didn't need to. They put him in the middle of the field at safety. So I would say that you don't want to, but if you have to, you can move Jalen Ramsey over a little bit in the middle.
Yeah, especially on the goal line, they'd ask him to do some safety stuff. So that is something really interesting. I think we should talk about that more on the other side.
Yep, let's do it. Let's take a break. We'll talk about Jalen Ramsey's safety on the other side on Locked On Jaguars.
All right, guys, she might be thinking that Jaguars football is going through your mind, but I know better. I know what you're really thinking about. You're thinking about sex. Remember the days when you're always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You could take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. This isn't just for guys who cannot perform. It's for any guy who wants that little extra to enhance their performance in the bedroom. And Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the U.S., and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code locked on to try it free. Blue Chew, the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring our podcast.
Okay, welcome to LockedOnJaguars.com. We are discussing the others. I love the way we come up with these titles, man. What has to happen? We've discussed the offensive line, the defensive line, secondary, depth, if that's going to be a problem. But we still got some meat on the bone when it comes to depth in the secondary and what happens in case guys get injured. We'll discuss that. Talk about who's going to be that punt returner and that electric kickoff returner to give the Jaguars those extra points, and then those big plays that are also needed. Where will they get those from? Those chunk plays that every successful team or every good team has to have in order to be great. But back to this safety position. Phil, I know you wanted to talk about safety position and the possibilities of moving number 20 to safety in case of emergencies and the way that you line up a great player to put him in position to make more plays.
Yeah, I like how you said that. break in case of an emergency. You know, he's like one of those. You don't want to do it, but for the best interest of the team and to be the most impactful, if one of those safety guys go down with a long-term injury, it's something that could be considered. I know you mentioned maybe moving DJ Hayden back out to fill in for Ramsey if he went into the safety spot, and then just bump a guy like Trey Herndon into the slot, or even a guy that I like a lot, I'm a big fan of, Quentin Meeks. If he shows that he's, you know, developing really nicely in camp and in practices and everything, just to slide next man up into the cornerback spot and keep Boye and Hayden where they are, and let Jalen roam and kind of try to pick off some passes. That would be, at the very least, that would be really interesting to watch on that front. And it's nice that they have a guy so talented and versatile as Jalen Ramsey that they could do something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, the way I look at this is, you know, some people say, well, you're overthinking this. Why would you do that? I look at life this way, especially when it's something that's competitive. If I was on the other side, what would I not want to see? Or what? And I wouldn't necessarily not want to see, because if you're competing, you don't care about not seeing it. You want to face those challenges. But what would be the most difficult way for me to walk through whatever challenge that is? I think the most difficult way to play the Jacksonville Jaguars is if you don't know where number 20 is going to be. Is if you don't know if they're going to lock him up outside on somebody, if you don't know he's going to be playing center field, Earl Thomas, Ed Reed, if you don't know that he's going to be down in the slot and if he'll come off of his guy and go blitz. I just, to me, that's what makes him so dangerous. He's just, there aren't very many players. Derwin James is another guy like that. Malik Hooker's another guy like that. I mean, there are some people that would be so difficult for me, as opposed to having to face him knowing, okay, he's on the left side of the defense. They're playing a shell. He's a man-to-man guy. He's over there, or he's wherever T.Y. or DeAndre Hopkins is. Whoopie-doo. Because they're going to – T.Y. or DeAndre Hopkins are going to catch pass. They're not going to – you're not going to make a living beating him all day. But you've seen DeAndre Hopkins. Jalen's going to win four. DeAndre's going to win one, and that one is going to be a first down. That's just the way it goes. I'd rather him be stationary so I could just avoid him than to come out of that huddle every week and not knowing where he is.
Yeah, it's valid points, and it's great that you brought up Derwin James, and of course you're a Florida State guy, because he did a lot of that at Florida State, right? It's called, what is it, the star position?
The star position, right.
Yeah, where you kind of just move around and wreak havoc wherever you think they're vulnerable on the offensive side of the ball. So it's something that at least is fun to talk about, right? We're in the dead season right now, and this is where we can have a lot of those conversations before things ramp up. And I know you mentioned the special teams, kick returner, punt returner, all that stuff. Look, Didi's really good at it. I mean, he was scoring touchdowns last year. DJ Shark showed that he was pretty good at it when he was doing the kickoffs in those situations, and just good in special teams in general as the gunner and doing some of that stuff. But the question becomes, do you want those guys to do those things? Do you want them to do those things? If they're going to be...
Marquise Lee got hurt returning a kick last year.
That's right. Yep.
Yep.
So do you want those guys to do those things? If you want Dede Westbrook to be that breakout star on the offense and that wide receiver, you want DJ Chark to take those next steps, you're probably going to have to look to somewhere else on the roster to fill in some of those duties and responsibilities. And honestly, looking at the roster right now, not too many options. The only thing that I'm seeing right now, Wig, is a guy by the name of Michael Walker from Boston College, who they signed as an undrafted free agent, who did a ton of that stuff for them. Quick, twitchy little guy who could be a slot receiver and do some of those things, but he also had a lot of special teams prowess. And I think that's going to be a big topic to look at when we go and watch these OTAs and these camps, is seeing exactly who is going to get that sixth wide receiver spot, if they keep six wide receivers, which I think they will, because ultimately that special teams ability and that return ability could be the deciding factor between a, you know, big Tyree Brady type or a Dredrick Snelson from USCF or a Walker that we mentioned who could do the kick return stuff.
Right, and in terms of some of the other things, is you see them, the way they're building this roster, it doesn't look like they're going to have a fullback. They're going to use a tight end who can double as a fullback. They're also not going to have a one-trick pony as a running back slash kick returner, straight line runner like they had with Corey Grant. All of their running backs are guys that if Fournette goes down or the next guy go down, whether it's Alfred Blue or Rawls or whoever, or the kid that drafted from Temple, they're all guys that are 225, 200. No, this is what our running back room looks like, and they all kind of look the same. We're not going to just sprinkle a guy in just to have an extra guy like Corey Grant. It's going to handicap the playbook when we have to change things. So you're right. You know, they may become one of these teams, like a lot of teams around the league, that have big running back. You know, there are teams up back there that have running backs that run kicks. They're not all skinny little guys. The kick returner sometimes is a running back, and the punt returner is usually a wide receiver on a lot of teams, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I know Benny Cunningham did a bunch of kick return stuff with the Bears. So that that might be the one guy from that stable to look into that, you know, possibility of doing some of those things. But that still leaves open the punt returner. So that I think the ability to do some of those things is going to be a big factor. And I wouldn't even be surprised once all these, you know, roster trimmings come down, we hit see some of those deadlines come up where a guy who has some special teams ability or return ability or some of those things who gets cut on a different team gets brought in and kind of gets handed, so to speak, quote unquote, that position just because of their return ability. And you know what? A guy like Pharoh Cooper, who is on the Cardinals now, he could be one of those guys who's a casualty. I know when he got cut from the Rams late last season, the Jaguars were one of those teams that put in a request on him, but they weren't high enough in the waiver order. So a guy like that is a good example. Whether or not they do it, I don't know. But that's a good example of a guy who might get cut and might sneak onto this roster at the last minute.
No doubt about it. And you need to sneak on back into the United States, man. The next time I talk to you, you'll be 10 toes down.
I will.
Back at home. I remember when I came back from overseas, I actually kissed the ground at Dover Air Force Base, man. I was so happy to be back. So, and training camp starts this week. We'll have some good, fresh content for you guys here on LockedOnJaguars.com. So we're going to close it out, man. But guess what? We'll be right back. We won't be far away. We're available on all platforms. Subscribe. Tell your friends to tune in to Locked On Jaguars. And what we're going to do is give you the straight no chaser content for the Jacksonville Jaguars here on the Locked On Sports Network. For T-Wig, for Philip Cruz.